and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You okay over there?
It's good. Thanks. And thanks for the kind offer before the show.
Hey, no problem.
But no, I do not need that from you, but thank you.
I'm a helper.
Jim will cover that. I do not need a poke in the what? Never mind.
That's not. No.
Stop it.
You know.
Stop it. You stick with the hugs. Jim will stick with the squeezy part.
All right.
Hey, everybody. Mama's home. Okay. This is, you know what? As a elderly shut-in loser, as you guys know, I cannot. This is too much for Grandma. I cannot fly across the country and go clubbing. As the kids would say.
You went clubbing?
Right, the Out 100 party in New York.
Oh, that's not clubbing.
Yeah, it was. It was at a big, loud club. This was me talking to everybody. What? What? Because I'm already deaf, as you know, from my headphones.
What?
Right. What? Yeah, I am.
Your headphones are too loud!
I am hard of hearing Darth Vader.
What? Watch. What?
So you can imagine a loud nightclub.
Yes.
Right? I'm just like, what? I don't... It was just that...
I think I've been to that place. It's very echoey.
Right. The Terminal. Terminal 5 in New York City.
Yeah.
In Manhattan on a weeknight.
I hate going to loud places like that. When you're trying to have a conversation
with
someone who's 2 inches away from
you.
Don't go there to have a conversation.
Although I was talking to Fred Karger, the Republican, the gay Republican that ran for president.
We've had him on the show.
I would have been yelling at exactly that level no matter where we were. Why are you an idiot? Why would you be a Republican? They hate gays!
What?
I said you're an idiot! Although he seemed very, very nice, and we had a lovely conversation as far as I can remember.
Something about color stays? What?
What?
What? Did you at least talk to Debbie Harry since she was following you on the red carpet?
No. After the... Well, you know me. I always have some sort of loser incident. And this time, of course, I got to the red carpet because that's the whole reason I went. Because I don't know. Listen, I am just not good at this media whoring thing.
There are pictures of you on the red carpet at Twitter and your Facebook page.
All right. My hair looked horrendous. My dress was too tight. I was cranky.
Too tight? How can anything be too tight on you?
I looked like a stuffed sausage. All I'm saying, I just was uncomfortable and cranky because I'm not used to being out. And then that's what happened. I got to the red carpet right as Deborah Harry got there. So that always happens to me is I'm like, everybody's really excited, but not about me. Like, everyone's like stampeding over me to get a picture and an interview with Deborah Harry.
Right. Well, it's kind of like that time you took Greg Brady to whatever you went to.
Nobody cares about me.
Right.
Or your message in a bottle.
And he was your beard.
And right.
You're not supposed to bring a beard that is more famous than you are.
Damn you, Disney. He was my hired beard. They, hired him to go on a date with me.
Wow.
Everyone's like, oh, my God, Greg Brady. Did anyone care about my late night show? No.
Oh, God, no.
No. boy. Okay.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Harry, sorry I left you hanging on the telephone.
Sorry.
Really?
That was the most embarrassing question of all the things people have ever asked me at events. When someone went, are you in Blondie?
Computer says
not.
No, I am not. I should have just said yes. So at least I would have gotten more people to take my picture.
Sure.
Oh, and then here's the biggest loser thing.
What?
Even on the East Coast where I have to get up at, you know.
At stupid o'clock.
Right.
And get up. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I still left too early. Mariah Carey's.
And I missed it. Yeah.
I missed. I didn't stay late enough to see Deborah Harry sing. And then I was like, And then there's a big thing in the morning. Oh, Mariah Carey was at the Out 100, and I was like,
I don't think she sang though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was just there.
Well,
according to reports that I read.
Okay. Well, whatever. I got to talk some about Nicki Minaj or something.
Sure. Why can't you get in a feud with Nicki Minaj?
I'd like to. If I had any idea who she was, I would. Is she in Blondie?
No.
I'm just kidding. I know who she is.
Okay.
She was a judge on American Idol, and she and Mariah Carey.
Well, she also has a singing career. She has some hits,
as
the kids say.
Right. Oh, Julie in Seattle said, please tell me you didn't go to the DJ and ask them if they'd play Bubble Butt.
Oh.
And I did not. I did not, although now that you mention it, I wish I had. Come on. Play it. Do it.
Was there a DJ?
No, I think there were live bands.
Oh. You think? You didn't know?
No, there was a live band.
Oh.
Stephanie Miller.
Bubble butt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bubble butt.
Yeah.
Bubble butt.
Yeah.
Bubble butt.
All right. Okay. So
that is
there.
Awful.
So thanks for that 100. Oh, and then we tweeted a picture. That was really, oh my God.
Right.
Broadway. We saw After Midnight.
Yes, it's a new jazz retrospective or
it's
something.
It's Duke Ellington.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Probably best show I've ever seen. Dulé Hill is the star from West Wing.
Right.
Hot Brie, Melissa Fitzgerald, our friend's good friend.
And apparently Fantasia Barrino is in it for 2 weeks.
Yeah. She's in it. I saw it. She was great. And I didn't realize who she was. I'm like, oh, because I don't watch. If Rachel Maddow didn't sing it, I didn't hear it. Oh, she's on American Idol. Okay.
She was on American Idol in season 4. We're now on season 12. So she's had, you know. She was on she starred in The Color Purple on Broadway.
I knew she was a big deal because we came out the backstage door, and all the girls were like, "Do you know is Fantasia still here?" And I was like, "What?" And then I was like, "Oh, she was like, no, I don't know."
She would have been cool to meet.
Yeah. Oh no, I did meet her.
Oh, you did?
On the way out.
Oh, but you didn't know
she was
who
still
she
humming
was.
After the show. She was still singing, and I was like, "Oh my God, you were great." Well, she was. She was great.
But she didn't know who she was.
No, I didn't know who she was.
Oh, Stephanie. Did you know
I was watching, and her voice was. Here's how I can tell. There's part of me that's, you know, like my mother. She's singing. She's doing great, and I was like, "Oh dear, tattoos."
She has neck tattoos.
That's
yes.
Too many tattoos.
She has a neck
that's
tattoo.
That's not good for period pieces.
Oh.
Well, it's not because you're wearing a gown. It's a little distracting because you're like, oh, I don't think if you were a singer in 1920 something, you would have
true
tattoos, right?
No, you
see?
Would not.
I'm just saying. I think one of my acting professors at USC would have said, "Oh no, oh dear, that's limiting role wise. You're not going to be able to do a Jane Austen."
Tell that to Angelina Jolie. She has tattoos out the yin yang.
Right. Well.
And she's rather successful.
Is she?
She is.
I don't get out. If she is, who now?
Would you have known who Dulé Hill was?
Yes.
Would it be?
Yes.
Well, didn't tell you.
Also, Janelle was there. Oh God, I'm spacing from West Wing. The whole you tweeted the picture from backstage.
Oh, I didn't. I don't watch the West Wing.
Did you tweet the picture?
I tweeted the picture.
Thank you.
But there was some lady in it.
I was hanging with the West Wing with a lot of the cast of West Wing, including Dulé Hill.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Who was also in an episode of The Smart Guy, which I was in.
Oh, really?
Yes.
There you go. Anyway, he's a fabulous singer, dancer. Was a great show After Midnight. Anyway, we were
a good time was had by all.
Yes, he's going to come on the show this week.
Oh.
So there.
Okay.
See, I do it. You know what? I do more bookings drunk than you do sober most days of the year.
I see. I see.
I'm just trying to get you going. I'm not prepared. I thought at least we could have a squabble, and
see.
That'll fill airtime.
I see. Okay, we'll see how many bookings you get this week.
Okay, so we were all flying back, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Oh, this is funny. Well, not funny, but at least not as funny as the Southwest flight. Did you see this? The pilot said that the
we're
passengers
going
were going down.
Down.
Yeah.
Kidding.
That what? Got on the PA by accident.
Yeah.
They were fine.
They were fine. They were trying to avoid some some stuff in the air. So they were
evasive action.
They went to a lower elevation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we were all flying black and flying back, and Hot Brie and I was
flying black. You're on soul plane.
Oh, stewardess, I speak jive.
Mother snakes off my mother plane.
I speak jive.
Oh, good.
Friends, don't let friends fly black.
No.
That is not what I meant.
Okay,
I am
good.
Still
drunk.
Right.
So they were being shot at, that'd be black flacking.
Yeah.
Short for
wow.
Okay. Wow. All right. So, yes. Okay. Anyway, but you know how sweet and kind and naive and, I don't know, kind of naive Hot Brie is, Melissa Fitzgerald?
A little bit.
So... In our row, there was a guy that looked like, no offense, like a combination of kind of the Unabomber and the Shoe Bomber and the Underwear Bomber all sort of rolled into one.
Uh-huh.
He had a hood up the whole thing, and anyway, he asked to use her phone. And for some reason, she let him. She's like, okay. And I was like, because he said he didn't get reception or something. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, good luck in Gitmo, because now the NSA knows. So you just called a number in Yemen.
Uh-huh.
What the hell are you doing?
Oh.
The whole flight, I was like, okay, so you probably keyed in, he probably keyed in the, you know, things that the plane's going to boom.
Right.
Right.
The coordinates or whatever.
Yeah. Good luck telling it with the judge with that whole story. I don't know. He said he didn't get a reception. I just gave him my phone.
Or good luck telling it to the judge being, you know, dead and all.
Hopper's going to be back. Okay, Edward Snowden's a hero. You were right about the other...
Just let me borrow your phone for a minute.
Yeah. No. Anyway, everything was fine, but I just was saying that was a little bit of a... Anyway, the Southwest... The Southwest flight, how about this? The pilot of a Southwest Airlines flight gave passengers a scare Tuesday when he announced over the loudspeaker that the plane was going down. That's...
He probably should have said we're descending to a lower altitude.
Descending, that's what... Right. Yes, that's what he should have said.
We're going down!
Yeah, I'm glad the pilot took evasive action to avoid problems ahead.
Is there anyone on board that knows how to fly a plane? yeah, he said we're going down, Shelley Wills, one of the passengers said. Oh, it was Tampa to Raleigh-Durham. I've done that flight.
Have you?
Yeah, and everyone's looking around like, is this a joke? Is he serious? And then you felt the nosedive. At first, it sounded like someone was coming over the PA to talk, Grace Stroud, another passenger, said. Then it sounded like shots through the cabin twice, back to back. Seconds later, the panicked captain said, we're in trouble. We're going down. Will said she tried to console a woman, but seated next to her was clutching her chest. I'm thinking, oh, my God, she's going to scare herself into a heart attack. She said she even texted her daughter goodbye. Dear God.
Oh, wow.
That's
awful. I thought I was going to die. Everyone on the plane thought. We thought we were all going to die just by one word of the captain. I think they should have handled it a little differently.
A little bit.
Think. In an email to Stroud, Southwest said the pilot inadvertently activated the PA system. Oops.
You know, as you do.
Flight.
As you can, Captain Perry, and oops.
Did you say oops?
Did the captain just say?
I know when I say oops.
Southwest said flight 3426 experienced a maintenance alert as they were going on descent into RDU. The captain declared an emergency, descended the aircraft at 25,000 feet, where the alert was resolved. Throughout the remainder of the descent, the flight was normal, landed uneventfully, and was not met by emergency vehicles.
Oh, good.
Okay. Except for all the goodbye, I love you texts and the heart attacks. Everything's fine. Sorry about that. You think he just, like, his elbow hit it? Uh-oh, that's not on. You don't think they heard me say we're going down, right? All right. So there, that all happened. Yep. And I am loaded for bear
are
on
you?
The Affordable Care Act. Oh, yes, I am.
All right.
Okay. 18 minutes after. I was just kidding about being unprepared and...
drunk.
Right.
You're drunk.
I'm partially prepared and hungover. So there.
Oh, good.
Here we go. 18 minutes. This is not going down. The show is not going down. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Darling, only the good die young. Whoa, 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 whoa.
You know what?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I think he really did start the fire. I think he did.
I did not. I did not start the fire.
Not you.
I did.
He did.
Oh, Billy Joel's, he's shady.
A lot of those DUIs and stuff, who knows? He may have inadvertently started a fire. He did not know.
He was too drunk.
24 minutes and I can hardly. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, where do I start with all my favorite tweets of the weekend? Desert Beacon tweeted, media recipe for ACA coverage. One cup GOP talking points, one cup sensationalism, one cup lazy fact-checking, one cup drama queen whining. Thank you. Thank you. LOL, GOP. It's a shame modern TV cameras can't capture poor people, or else you might see one of the 5 million being denied insurance by the GOP. Thank you. Bill Maher. Our buddy, our pal. Congratulations to the Republicans for passing the You Can Keep Your Crappy Plan Act. What a stunning victory for the barely insured.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And one last email from Chris in Yankton on spineless Democrats. Steph, he's a fine American. Smartest.
Who plays both sides.
Oh, absolutely. Sends emails to Jim saying, I'm an idiot, to you.
Uh-huh.
To me saying, those two.
Finally got called out on it.
However, I am going to read mine.
Okay.
Because he makes many good points. Steph and the Mooks, regarding the spineless Democrats getting nervous, starting to come out against the ACA, the last time the Blue Dog Dems did this, it didn't help them. Digby had a list today of Dems who voted against the ACA the first time because they thought it would help them electorally. They got voted out anyway. I have firsthand knowledge of this. Our previous representative, Stephanie Herseth Sandlin, tried as hard as she could to be Republican-light and not stand for anything, including voting against the ACA. Republicans still didn't vote for her. She disgusted her Democratic base, most of whom still voted for her anyway, though it didn't help, and she lost to the empty-headed hairdo Kristi Noem, Republican of South Dakota. In short, running away from the ACA isn't going to help Democrats. They're going to get blamed for anything bad associated with it anyway. Running away just makes them look weak, and voters don't like weak. Kristen Yankton, who is on my side for the moment, although it's 25 after. Who knows?
That could change. Oh, it definitely will change.
Ken says, what President Obama should have said, if you like your health insurance, you can keep it. President Obama should have said, if you're stupid enough to want to keep your health insurance with lifetime maximum payout caps and exclusions for pre-existing conditions and anything else they don't want to cover and high copays and high deductibles and annual premium increases and no maternity coverage and no mental health coverage and the likelihood of getting canceled when you get sick or injured so you don't have to declare bankruptcy, then sure, you can keep it. That's true. Just a little bit. You know,
a few
more qualifiers.
Needs to
pare it down on the end. Oh, my God. Rude pundit. Wrote the rudest, funniest version of that I have heard yet, and we will talk to him in just a couple of minutes. Because he did a rewrite on what Obama should have said in that last press conference.
I don't think President Obama will actually take his advice because it's a little too rude.
One can only dream. My favorite part of it is, okay, you want to keep your grandfather's plan, go ahead. Lick grandpa's...
I have no idea what...
Tell me how tasty they are. Okay, Don in...
Oh.
Don in Palm Springs. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Good morning, beautiful. I'm glad you had a fabulous weekend.
I did. Thank you.
You know, I was on the treadmill on Sunday, and Nancy Pelosi came on Meet the Press, and I just stopped, and I was like, okay, Grandma, let him have it. I was so ready. I wanted those blue pearls to go flying across the table. And
they were lovely, the blue pearls.
She's been in the Congress. She knows the context of what's really going on in the country, and she could have changed this whole argument from, oh, the black man fumbles the ball again, to what's really going on, and she let me down.
Well, I thought she did the best she could. You know what? I'm disgusted with I don't think I can watch those shows anymore. Well, what is with Tom Brokaw? First of all, I am never no one is ever allowed to say liberal media again.
No one's allowed to say liberal media.
Isn't NBC supposed to be, I don't know, communism central, according to the right wing?
Not NBC, MSNBC.
Well, right, but both. All of them. They say all the other media is liberal media except for Fox, right? Isn't that the meme of the right wing?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well,
and there's Tom Brokaw, like, oh, well, after the president's debacle in Syria, where, Putin bailed him out, I think, it's like, what?
Debacle in Syria?
What? What? What are you talking about? We just had a stunning diplomatic breakthrough in Syria where
that's what it was, a diplomatic breakthrough. There was nothing blowing up.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, this is just another debacle for Obama.
Just a debacle.
Right. Another... Never mind. All right. There's a lot of L words.
Yes. Blunder.
Right. Right. You could go with that.
A lesbian.
Right.
Was there a lesbian involved?
No, I don't know. It's an L word.
Is that a debacle? All lesbianism?
To some people it is.
For me it is. I must not be doing it right.
Aww.
Aww. Skippy, come on.
You need a hug.
All right. I do. I need a lot more than that. Okay. So anyway, I have so much to get to. I don't. I missed because I was out clubbing. Because you know I'm a club kid now.
Yeah,
you know.
You are.
I was out clubbing
with your glow stick and pacifier.
With a glow stick.
Right. Anyway, fellow lesbian Rachel Maddow apparently had a great piece on Romney Care Lesson: Be Patient with Obamacare on Thursday night. That we'll talk about and Rude Pundit as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The greatest source of energy known to womankind!
Woohoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Tyson, oh, writes about sex and liberal Albuquerque. Just announced going crazy at box office there. When is that? May 10th.
At Pope Joy Hall.
Thank you very much.
Hey,
Mom, I just want to let you know I purchased a couple meet and grow tickets for the May 10th show in Albuquerque. I'm toying with the idea of bringing Audrey, the Charlie Rangel impersonator. Well, she's actually a Jim Ward impersonator in impersonating.
She probably doesn't
Charlie
sound
Rangel.
Much like that. It's probably not anymore.
She's 13 going on 20. Ooh, that's a little borderline.
Oh, boy.
And I think she's mature enough for all the shenanigans you could books unleash
Yikes.
On the audience.
You know what? I think 13 is a good.
Congrats on the Out 100. I am so proud of you. You've come a long way since the Itchy Kitty and Reseda. Why, thank you. Peace, love, and understanding. Tyson in Albuquerque. We should turn left. That's how you get to sex.
You make that left
should
turn.
Turn left in Albuquerque.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't forget the final 2013 extravaganza. Seattle, December 14th, February 15th in Phoenix, March 29th in Madison, May 10th in Albuquerque. Another big Sexy Liberal announcement this week.
Oh, yeah.
And lots of exciting developments about Sexy Liberal as well that I can't tell you about yet. Oh, my God.
Okay. I can't tell you. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Go to Sexy Liberal on Facebook, Sexy Liberal on Twitter for all the correct ticket links. We're trying to shut down all these scalpers that are popping up again. Be careful. Do not go to a scalper site.
Right.
You know, go right to...
Get your links right at sexyliberal.com.
Yeah.
It could not be easier.
There you go. All right.
I got tickets for you. Comes with a bag of Vipers.
Great. All right. You know what? It's a high bar. Maybe the Root is funniest column ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Root pundit. Pundit.
Oh, Root, I cannot be the only one in the country going, hey, listen to what Root pundit wrote about. And then I read it to people and then they laugh.
Oh, that's nice.
Aww.
I'm glad they laugh and don't vomit. So
yes.
That's always...
Well, such a fine line, really, don't you think?
Oh, I think so. And, you know, sometimes vomiting the mix can be a little fun. But
ew.
Ew. Yeah. Corn? Okay. Rude, I think, but you're absolutely right, because part of it is it should make you sick that this many Republicans and even people in the pundits in the media are sort of gleeful, I guess, over this being maybe a political defeat that'll, you know, that'll help a lot of people stay sick.
It'd be great for ratings.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yay!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I just love that there's not any talk of all of the people that have gotten on health insurance since Obamacare has come into,
well,
is now fully implemented.
Right. As Jim said, if it bleeds, it leads. No mm-hmm. good news stories. But your piece, I couldn't have said it better. Obama to the nation, keep your plans, you stupid cowards. But you say, you know, as we've said over and over, but you say it best here, in a sane era, not an ideal one, but a sane one, the president would have gone to the congressional leaders and said, hey, what are some things we can do to make the Affordable Care Act work better in this fantasy sane era? And as you say, not some, you know, kumbaya era of holding it. It's just a time when everybody in government, you know, was interested in making government work to some degree, right?
Sure. If you're going to take a job in government, you perhaps want to make government work. It's
right.
Silly thought, I know.
And you always alert us to weird insects that live, I guess, in the swamps of your home state.
Of Louisiana?
Right.
Yeah.
You say we do not live in such an era. We must deal with the constant buzzing of water boatman politicians. You say the water boatman, an insect, relative to its size, gives off a mighty sound and makes an annoying chirp buzz by constantly rubbing its on its belly. And then you say, there's your picture for the day, Ted Cruz, grabbing his... Okay, never mind.
Oh.
And because he does make an irritating sound like that already.
That's right. It could be his voice, or it could be from some self-pleasuring rubbing across his stomach.
Could be. Could be.
I don't think his member is actually large enough for him to bend in that way, but,
right.
You know...
Right. Well, I have to read this part. So instead of the president of the House GOP agreeing the law is a law, making it function for all Americans. What? That's nuts. We get the sight of Obama appearing before the press corps and saying more or less, damn, I'm sick of you mother whining about your ass health insurance getting canceled because your provider is just a bunch of sick, greedy heads who would murder you where you sit if they could squeeze one more cent of profit out of your useless bodies. You want to cling to your high deductible, low benefit policy for another year because you're scared that the black man president might be right and all that Fox noise might be wrong? Fine. Kiss my ass. And keep your plan. Don't come whining to me when it turns out that your insurer drops your sorry ass when you get too sick for it. You asked to be grandfathered in, so lick grandpa's and tell me how tasty they are.
Wow.
Now, can we please?
Wow.
Come on.
You know, I'm sort of moved by your beautiful, delicate reading of that.
That was poetry. I'm sure it's glad true, I wasn't true. Eating when I heard that.
Sorry. Sorry. I mean, but you say, can we please just move and talk about the fact that Republicans want to kick over 100,000 people who just got insurance off of it? Why is no one covering it like that?
And this is not to mention the 400,000 people that have signed up for Medicaid in the states where they accepted the Medicaid extension of benefits. So, you know, we're already up to 500,000 people. And this is not to mention that if Republicans get their way, the millions of people who have gotten on plans because of, you know, having the age raised to 26 to stay on your parents' plan, the elimination of pre-existing conditions, all of those things. Let's just get rid of it because we don't like Obamacare because the website is glitchy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, and you know, you take us into that fantasy world. You know, you say, let's think about for one clear moment what would happen if after the law passed, Republicans hadn't been such total about the ACA. You say the only way not having a public option for insurance works is if the states acted responsibly. They did not, in a way calculated to undermine the president and Congress from just a few years ago. You know, you say Democrats got suckered again into thinking the Republicans would behave honorably. And you're right. Here we are again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, you'd hope that we'd be going through all this fighting for what would have been a Democratic plan with a public option or even so far as to say single payer. But this we're having this battle over a Republican plan that the president just accepted as a way of trying, for God's sake, to get some health care to people who didn't have it.
Right, right. And you say if President Obama seems frustrated, it's because he should be. Used to be people gave a damn when a law was passed. They shifted their perspective and acted in concert with the law. If they disagreed with it, they elected new people who overturned it if the courts wouldn't. The tactics used by the right in Obamacare would have made Abby Hoffman and his most radicals say, God, that'll lead to anarchy. And this is true. You say it's hilarious that the GOP is acting as if pre-ACA it was all free gold and for people with health insurance, not that it was and is a cruel, callous capitalist system that saw people routinely kicked off their policies for taking one too many pills or being a little late with their payment. I mean, it really, that is what's just incredible to me. They act like the system used to be flawless. Right?
Right. And it's just so galling. I think that Ezra Klein actually talks about it in the Washington Post today. He's saying, look, we're trying to make a change here. We're trying to make the healthcare system that is one of the most stupidly functioning healthcare systems in the world into something better. And it's actually going to hurt a little bit to get there. But isn't that the idea that we have to do that? And it's galling to me that we don't have people attacking Republicans endlessly for saying, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do now? What are you replacing anything with? Instead of, you know, stepping up to the plate and saying, all right, let's try to make this better.
Right. That's what we need to say to them, Jim. What are ye doing?
Right. Well, when they're asked that, they say, I mean, essentially it comes down to, well, don't worry, we'll come up with something. I mean, they'll hem and haw and say market-based solutions and blah, blah, blah. And,
no, and you're absolutely right. I mean, spineless Democrats have to realize nobody will do anything. If they help them kill this, nobody will do anything about health care for 20 years again. No one will attempt it. You know how long we and hard we fought to get to this moment? It's, you know, oy.
Yeah, and I just want to punch Max Baucus in his glasses. Ah. You know, because we're here at this point almost exclusively because of Max Baucus.
Yeah, it's because, why we don't have the public option in the first place. The Stephanie Miller Show, however, does not encourage the punching of Max Baucus in his glasses.
I mean rhetorically punching.
Oh, sure, him. Politically speaking. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a metaphor for.
Oh thanks. Right. Okay, good.
Get that, Newsbusters. Because this will be filed under Democrats in Disarray. You know, headlines.
Well, but he's barely a Democrat, and yeah. he didn't act like one during the whole discussion over the health care law. And you know, we're here in this position of saying, please, let's make this work because because going back is not a solution. When I'd rather be having a battle right now, say over single payer or over a public option. So we can thank him for lowering our what our battle is, and yet Republicans are attacking it as if we've gone totally socialist mad here.
Yep. By the way, loved your other piece in Brief, Other Things That Are Like Slavery to the GOP. Next year's most famous meth addict, Sarah Palin, says that the national debt is like slavery. You say Republicans all over the place say the insurance mandate, which was their idea, under the Affordable Care Act is like slavery. Right-wingers compare abortion rights to slavery when they're not comparing to the Holocaust. And they're right, as you say, they're all of those things are exactly like being owned as property by a master who can force you to work and rape you and sell your children and, to others and torture you on a whim. He gave us the fun facts. Here's a list. Oh. I did not realize all of this. A list of some other things Palin and the GOP consider to be just like slavery. Two-year cell phone agreements, state-mandated car insurance, frequent flyer mileage uses, restrictions, hotel minibar prices, sharing a cab, finishing one's four-year term as an elected official, Palin only, waiting in line for a cronut, having to appeal to voters who aren't white, conservative, and or rich, minimum wage, and having a black president. I did not know that.
Oh, it is. It's just like having shackles on your ankles and mm-hmm, being whipped mm-hmm, on mm-hmm. a daily basis by and somebody while you're picking cotton.
You would know this how?
He does it just for... All right. Rude, yes, it's like the glitchy website is exactly like Hurricane Katrina, correct?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that just remarkable? You know, I kept thinking, I was like, well, couldn't they at least just say it's like Medicare Part D? I mean, isn't that what this is? This is Obama's Medicare Part D rollout debacle. And it's nothing more or less than that, except the hype machine is more well-tuned now. And is ready to declare it a disaster of epic proportions. It's just like drowning a city.
Yep. Well, and by the way, just before we go, I love your honor veterans by listening to them about gun laws back in April when there was actually a chance that the nation might pass one or two immensely sane gun laws. A survey by Vote Vets found 91% of veterans polled supported universal background checks for gun purchases. Yeah, who better to know like what military weapons should be actually used for and not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and 74% of those strongly supported it. So, I mean, we're talking a massive amount of veterans believing in at least having universal background checks. So when the NRA released its video with Oliver North praising veterans, it just was mind-boggling to me. Like, you know, when you're praising the people who want to do something that's completely opposite of you, it's sort of like, I don't know, it's sort of like worshiping arsonists. Or worshiping firefighters when you're on the arson team.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Nicely said, sir. 46 minutes after the hour. Thank you, Rude. See you next week, honey.
Bye.
All right, bye. Uh-oh, look out, everybody. Cheney sister catfight.
Oh, love it.
Awkward Thanksgiving. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by No Hair Removal Systems. Mm-hmm. Alrighty, Kevin in D.C. I made sure that I was nice and smooth for sexy liberal D.C.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Because I knew I would be seeing my Mandingo warrior.
Yes, as always, it's nice to talk to she of the bountiful bosoms, alluring assets, and lovely, luscious lips that taste like strawberries.
Thank you.
Bountiful bosoms?
Thank you.
Really?
Shut up! If I do it the right way in the right lighting, they're fine. All right, go ahead.
Yes, I'm just delighted to once again experience the liberal media Obama's Katrina. So the last few weeks, the IRS scandal, both liberals and conservative groups were targeted, and of course, more conservative groups were approved. Benghazi, that source lied, and yet the CBS people, Laura Logan, her people still have the jobs, and Fox News still, in quote, stands by the story. And now this is Obama's Katrina.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have a liberal media. I just sometimes I really am waiting to for Rod Serling to end this episode of The Twilight Zone. It's like, okay, it's gone on too long. Please, Rod, assure me that, of course, you know.
Exactly.
This is the story.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Yes, the president talking about, you know, helping people figure stuff out.
What we're going to be doing is brainstorming on how do we make sure that everybody understands what their options are.
Right, and the Republicans are always helpful in that regard. Just trying to apprise people what their options are. Their option, according to them, is hurry up and die.
Mm-hmm.
I stole that directly from Alan Grayson.
Stephen, oh, for God's sake, just die!
You unlock this door with the key of imagination.
Stephen writes, staff, low enrollment in Obamacare for insurance that starts in January? Come on, people, we're Americans. We don't do a damn thing until the last minute has come and passed. You think people in Congress would know this because that's how they've been dealing with everything themselves. Thank you, smartest
good
boy,
point.
Stan in Middletown, Connecticut. Steph, thanks for standing up for President Obama. Yes, he misstated about a very small group of the insured, and yes, the website rollout has been a mess, but any Democrat or liberal who plays into the faux news hysteria on Obamacare lies is playing the chump. If mistakes have been made, they can be corrected in the ACA. Improved the Bill Clinton, who has knuckled to Fox News, is the Bill Clinton who promoted the repeal of Glass-Steagall and the dismantling of the FCC of old. Yeah, thanks, Bill!
Yeah, not too happy with him about that.
He's wrong. We can like him, but we don't have to accept it when he promotes a policy to which walks the GOP plank. And I've heard a lot of people say that this weekend, actually. This is why Elizabeth Warren is such an important asset to the Democratic Party. She's a policy wonk who clearly articulates true progressive politics. I agree. Yeah, I think that's right. We can love people and go, you know, I think you're wrong on this, and you're playing into the Republicans' hands. Oh, hang on. I forgot. I almost forgot. Cheney sister catfight.
Yeah, you teased
Facebook.
This like a half hour ago.
On Facebook. I'm guessing Dick Cheney thinks they can all go themselves.
Yeah. Stop arguing. Pass the mashed potatoes. And while you're at it, go yourself.
Say it with me, Cheney Thanksgiving. Awkward. The Thanksgiving at the Cheney house may be a bit uncomfortable this year. Liz Cheney, demon seed of Dick. was on Fox News Sunday and said that she opposes same-sex marriage. Her younger sister, Mary Cheney, a gay married woman, was at home with her wife watching the show.
Yeah.
She said, Liz said, I love Mary very much. I love her family very much. This is just an issue on which we disagree.
I don't buy this for a second.
I know you said you think it's a fake fight to, you know,
to prop up her incredibly conservative bona fides.
This actually sounds pretty real and pretty emotional. Listen. Okay, so Mary took to Facebook to respond, Liz, this isn't just an issue on which we disagree. You're just wrong and on the wrong side of history's the wrong side of history. The sisters haven't spoken in months. Mary Cheney's wife, Heather Poe, also responded via Facebook. She wrote, Liz has been a guest in our home, has spent time and shared holidays with our children, and when Mary and I got married in 2012, she didn't hesitate to tell us how happy she was for us. To have her now say she doesn't support our right to marry is offensive, to say the least. And then she took a little shot at the carpetbagging. She said, I can't help but wonder how Liz would feel if she moved from state to state, that she discovered that her family was protected in one but not the other. Yes, Liz, in 15 states in the District of Columbia, you are my sister-in-law. That sounds pretty emotional, pretty real to me. Maybe I wouldn't put anything past the evil Cheney clan, but still. Jeez. According to the New York Times, the Cheneys will be celebrating Thanksgiving at Mary and Heather's home, and Mary Cheney told the paper she assumed Liz will be staying in Wyoming.
Sure.
Oh, dear.
So you're saying the Cheneys would engage in subterfuge and disinformation?
They're the most cold and calculating family that this country has ever produced.
Yeah.
They're disappointed, apparently, though. She will not be invited. She will be in Wyoming.
Disappointed! I don't buy it for a second.
All right. 58.
Wyoming.
Cat fights are fun, no matter what they're about.
Okay.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey!
Our listeners are funny. Keith from Milwaukee says, Steph, someone should accuse Rand Paul of plagiarizing Harpo Marx's hair. All right. Hey, speaking
of what's the matter, you upstairs and not downstairs?
Sexy Liberal Show Director Roland Scahill, you know what, it's school announcements for the day.
Yes.
And he has a testicular explosion if I don't read them. Big push on for Seattle, last Sexy Liberal of 2013, going very, very fast. Madison, for God's sakes, Madison, these bitches be crazy. March 29th, a VIP sold out, less than 100 general admission seats left, better grab those seats now if you want to be part of Sexy Liberal Madison. March 29th, Phoenix, 16 VIP seats left for this show. That is, February 15th. Some great orchestra street still available, seats still available, but selling very fast. Albuquerque, clearly the office, doc's office on meth. That's a Breaking Bad joke.
You see.
Because.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Albuquerque loves being associated with as the meth capital of the world.
We've been on sale for less than 3 days. We've sold more than we did in the first month of sales. Last year, there were about 50 VIP seats left if you had website problems on Friday because it was glitchy. And we, oddly, we did not repeal Sexy Liberal Shut It Down. Try again today. All website problems are fixed. Great holiday gifts. Chris Mahana Kwanzaa gifts for the Sexy Liberal in your life. Do it! All right. Speaking of Sexy Liberal, Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Well, you know what? You complete me, as you know. I think it here. You say it there. Just your tweets this weekend kept me going. You said, it says it all. Wall Street Journal piece lists Syria as Obama fiasco, you know, where the war was avoided and Middle East tyrant agreed to peacefully disarm. I heard Tom Brokaw say this yesterday at Meet the Press. Oh, well, after the Syria debacle. I'm like, what? Right?
Yeah, no, they're, you know, once the narrative forms, once the, you know, people start connecting the dots, so, the, you know, after Obama's comments late last week about, you know, the Obamacare trouble, so, you know, the obituaries start again. And so what do you look for? Oh, Syria was a debacle. You know, that was a fiasco. You know, I'm pretty sure Joe Klein never apologized for the column, completely unhinged column he wrote, you know, literally a day before the peace initiative was hatched, talking about how Obama had, you know, ruined, you know, his presidency and stained all presidencies and all this crazy.
Right.
But you know, they get so hysterical when things turn, you know, sour for the White House. And we've seen this again and again, and you know, he, you know, routinely recovers and rebounds, but nobody ever remembers that. So, yes, only in a Democratic administration could avoiding a war and peacefully getting a tyrant to disarm considered a fiasco.
Yeah, that's
the largest debacle since Paul Lemberg, baby.
Right, right. And then, as you said, not to interrupt the media's Obama doomed freakout, but his Gallup approval is 42% from July 11 to March 12, Obama's Gallup approval rating between 40 and 43%.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I went back and looked, because, you know, obviously he's taking a hit. I'm not suggesting he's not. And I think this is his, you know, his approval rating has been incredibly resistant for 3 years, you know, during the Syria fiasco, during, you know, the phony scandals of last spring when, again, they were writing the obituaries. You know, his approval rating basically hadn't moved in 3 years, basically 45%. It's definitely come down. But, yeah, I went back and looked, and for, you know, that period I mentioned, you know, 2010 through 2011, 9 straight months, his approval rating was between 40 and 43 at Gallup, which is where it is now. But apparently now his presidency is over, and this is the worst catastrophe ever. And so there's no context. There's never any context. And there's never any attempt to explain, because the story they want to tell, the narrative they want to tell, is, you know, this is doomsday. It's over. You know, I just tweeted, you know, the Dow just hit 16,000. You know, gas is down almost a dollar over the last year or so. It's, you know, I paid $2.95 the other day. Mm-hmm. You know, typically surging stock market, plummeting gas prices, that's kind of big news. But zero, zilch, doesn't even move the needle.
Yeah, I mean, and as you say, why are pundits always trying to compare historic monumental GOP debacles, Watergate, WMDs, Katrina, with Democratic missteps? Hashtag just stop. I mean, it is beyond, you know, it's not just funny, Eric. It really is offensive. All of these, you know, catastrophes where a lot of people died to something that the president's trying to stop people from dying. I mean, it's offensive.
Yeah, and if you look at what happened under, you know, while Bush was president, if you look at 9/11, if you look at Iraq, if you look at Katrina, you can add up 8,000-9,000 dead Americans.
Yeah,
I mean, that's offensive to sort of group those victims into, you know, a failed rollout of a social policy. I mean, it's this obsession with the press. They're even out in front of the GOP, this obsession with the press to compare Obama with Bush.
Well,
you know, they're both a disaster. They both did things wrong. It's like, again,
right.
Context, yeah. Zero, nothing.
Well, and you know, the whole thing with Bush and Katrina, it was the fact that he didn't care. It's, you know, he's on vacation and there's these photo ops. And, you know, as the president said, fine, I'm happy to call it Obamacare because I do care. At least, you know what I mean? In some ways, it's the mirror opposite.
Yeah,
right?
it is the mirror opposite. It's an administration failing in an attempt to help people, in an attempt to get people more health care. You know, Katrina, complete failure to respond. Iraq war, you know, lying a country into a $3 trillion war. Those are completely different debacles. And, again, we're talking about thousands of Americans who died because of those, and we're talking about a failed public policy rollout. So, again, it to me, it's almost like the press is more interested than the Republican Party in terms of tying Obama and Bush, saying, oh, they're just alike. You know, this is Obama is just a repeat of the Bush administration. And
right.
It's like,
I love your other tweet. You said, wouldn't it just be better if reporters didn't produce inaccurate Obamacare horror stories in the first place? I mean, that's the thing. How many of these have to be shot down where you go do a little research?
Yeah, you know, we've seen less of them, but, you know, Media Matters and lots of other people pointed out, you know, the cancellation stories, the horror stories, you know, my premium's going up tenfold. You know, you spend like 30 minutes on Google and you're like, no, that's not really true. And yet these reports are showing up on places like CBS. In fact, you know, as I noted last week, you know, CBS with, you know, the Benghazi fiasco, which became a punchline on Saturday Night Live over the weekend, you know, it's not just the Benghazi thing. They've done some atrocious Obamacare reporting. They did an atrocious Steve Croft piece on Social Security disability fraud. You really look at CBS, what's going on just in the last 4 or 5 mm-hmm. weeks, it appears to be a bigger problem within that shop. The Benghazi...
Yeah, that was a great piece you wrote on that. And I mean, as you say, you quoted Frank Rich. You say Larry Logan's story was not a mere journalistic mistake, but a hoax. And you say the scary part is Logan's hoax seems to fit in, you know, fit right in at today's CBS.
It does. And, you know, in, you know, Media Matters, you know, we fact check everyone. We're critical of anything we see in terms of misinformation. But, you know, if you look at those CBS examples in the last 4 or 5 weeks, I can't really find three or four examples from ABC or NBC in the last year that were just as egregious and seem to be purposefully misleading. That's what's the most disturbing part. This seems to be CBS saying, Obama got you, let's go do it, and this is the story we're going to tell. And again, it takes like 20 minutes of independent, you know, analysis to say, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. I mean, there seems to be, you know, an effort within CBS News to really just hammer Obama and do it, which is fine. Criticize anyone.
Right.
But you can't just make stuff up in order to do that, like the way they did with Benghazi.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I mean, your one tweet said it all. You said, I'd say CBS's almost fanatical refusal to appoint outside review of the Benghazi hoax indicates just how traumatic the missteps were, fear involved.
Again, and we talked about this last week, you know, the chairman of CBS News is Jeff Fager. The executive producer of 60 Minutes is Jeff Fager. Jeff Fager has now appointed someone internally to find out what went wrong at the show I oversee. How would you like to be that person, tapped by your boss to go find out everything your boss did wrong and then get back to me? Make sure you give me all the bad news. We still don't know if this review is even going to be made public. And as we talked about last week, the last time CBS found itself in such a dire situation with the Bush National Guard story in 2004, they appointed an independent review. They hired a former Republican attorney general, issued a 200-page report. CBS just will not touch any of that. And to me, two things. A, they don't care about criticism when it comes from the left, the way they did when they were under siege from Republicans in 2004. And B, they have no interest in being transparent whatsoever.
Yep.
And possibly C, they're afraid of what, a former attorney general and his investigators would find out. They are terrified about the missteps, possibly purposeful missteps,
yep,
that CBS did in order to put that report together.
Yep, absolutely. Eric, great stuff as always. Thanks. See you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye. 17. There he goes. 17 minutes after. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Do I want to know what OPP means?
Yeah, no. You know me.
No. Do not. 22 minutes after the hour.
Other people's posteriors.
Ah.
Oh. Okay. Hmm? Thank you. 1-800-STEP-12, the number. Daryl in Joyzee. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Yeah, I was actually listening to the discussion with Eric Bowler from Media Matters, and the thing that really occurred to me is we never talk about how much money these news organizations make off of controversy. I mean, how much money, for example, did CBS charge in advertising 30-second ads on the night of that Benghazi fake report?
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right.
Especially since the report was promoted by Fox News.
Yeah.
Who said, hey, watch this. This is going to be important.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I wish Media Matters, I don't know if it would require Media Matters to open up a whole branch of research, but, when you look at what, what's going to transpire in 2014 in the midterms, in 2016, the presidential election, the media stands to make a hell of a lot of money on advertising if there's
controversy. That's right. And that's what I keep saying. They are not liberal. They are pro crisis, pro story, pro ratings, whatever that is. And yeah, exactly. Good news apparently doesn't get covered. And now the big, cue the air raid siren. Democrats in disarray. Oh, go! Representative Nancy Pelosi yesterday.
Democrats stand tall in support of the Affordable Care Act.
Except for 39 of you spineless losers. God's sakes. Bob Seska, our buddy, our pal. Mm-hmm. Perfect name for the Senate Democrats wimping on the ACA. Julie sends me this. Mama, during the long, terrible fight to pass the health call law, certain chicken Democratic senators are now waving their lace panties on Bob Seska invented the perfect name for that ilk. Coalition of the Corrupt and Spineless, or... Right.
Ah.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Wolf. Okay.
Ah.
Right.
Weenies, in other words.
Right.
Yes.
Bob originally used it to describe corporate Democrats like Max Baucus and Dianne Feinstein, demi-Democrats like Mary Landrieu and Mark Pryor, and assorted other Democratic senators who all get wibbly and wobbly now and then, just like the ones who want to delay Obamacare so Republicans can finish drowning it dead like in Grover Norquist's
right.
bathtub. As your caller the other day said, they told their kid, Republicans are mean and Democrats are weak. Fuck off, Democrats, for God's sakes.
Well, we don't want to offend anyone with our opinions. Is it okay?
Gucci website.
Okay, all right.
Nancy
Please
Pelosi.
Don't hurt me.
Nancy
the Affordable Pelosi. Care Act is right up there with Social Security, Medicare, affordable care for all Americans as a right, not a privilege. The rollout of the website, that's terrible. But the fact is, that will be fixed.
Jim, who said, yes, this is a politically difficult moment for President Obama, but everyone needs to chill out. Now this is what politics is supposed to be like. Ruthless Republicans gleeful at the prospect they might increase the net total of human suffering. Timorous Democrats panicking at the first hint of political difficulty and rushing to assemble a circular firing squad. And the news media bringing out the Dems in disarray headlines they keep in storage for just this purpose. Please, everyone just chill out. Who said that?
Ed Grimley, I must say.
Oh, no, that was a good guess.
Or maybe it was Mark O'Mara.
No. Paul Waldman at the American Prospect.
And he's with
Walpoldman.org.
Paul Waldman, who smokes Paul Malls in the mall.
Or Mall Burles. Alternatively. Who said it's incredible how often reporters and pundits proclaim that what's happening this week is the most important political development in years, and the balance of political advantage today will remain just as it is, indefinitely into the future. Then a few weeks or months later, things change, and they forget about what they just said before, declaring once again, today's situation is how things will be forevermore. Who said that?
Lisa Loebner.
No. No. I thought you were going to say the Raven.
Lorna.
No.
No?
No. Same guy. Paul Waldman.
Paul Waldman.
Who said the rollout has been a mess, but it's important to remember this period is all preparation for the actual implementation of the law. Nothing that's happening now is permanent. People have gotten cancellation notice, but no one lost their coverage. The website sucked when it debuted. It sucks slightly less now, but there's still lots of time for people to sign up for plans to take effect next year. You can't call the Affordable Care Act a failure until it takes effect and does or does not achieve its goals. That would be like calling your team's season a failure because they lost a couple of preseason games. Who's
Paul Waldman has a lot of gall.
He was right.
No, you're right.
It was Paul Waldman, wasn't
it? That was an odd answer, and it was not properly phrased. I would like you to phrase your in the form of a question.
No, sorry.
Right. A few Democrats... Well, this is before the vote, did vote for the Republican bill that purports to address the problem of cancellation, but it's an attempt to gut the entire ACA. That's because they're cowards and fools who think they can protect themselves from momentary political headwind by rushing into the Republicans' arms. And you know what will happen? Nothing. You can just add this vote to the 47 prior ones repealing the law. It'll have the same impact. It won't ever get to the Senate. Even if it did, it won't ever be signed by the president. Isn't even worth paying attention to. Jim?
Alex, I'll take penis mighty off for $400.
Paul Waldman. Yeah, anyway, he finished. He said, within next year, the rest of the law will be implemented. There may be problems here and there, but overall, it'll probably go reasonably well. There will be plenty of things Democrats can point to in order to convince people it was a good idea, like the fact nobody can be denied coverage because of pre-existing condition, or the fact millions of people who couldn't afford coverage or were denied it before now have it. There will also be things Republicans will try to say to convince people it was a terrible idea, like the fact that premiums didn't plummet and health care is still expensive and Obamacare didn't give every little girl a pony.
Paul Waldman was having the premiums of plummet.
Or a unicorn that farts glitter.
Glitter.
Or a leprechaun that farts glitter.
Leprechaun. That lets loose with lucre.
He never give me potty gold.
Oh, Lord. All right. Nancy Pelosi again.
They're anticipating that 80% by December 1 as we go forward.
And our good friend Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
The president rolled out that policy yesterday that allows the people who want to keep their plan to keep it. But we also want to make
really allow.
Yes, it does. It allows people, if they want to keep their plan and they like it, they can.
Okay. And we will do. I promised to talk about Rachel's piece on the Romney care lesson. Be patient with Obamacare. What did they say?
Well, you just said Rachel, so I just want to pinpoint it.
Really, really, on a liberal radio show.
There are other people named Rachel.
She is the share
of
liberalism.
Really,
really, Rachel who? Oh God.
Rachel Welkel.
Rachel, what? That's Lisa Welchel.
She is a deity. How dare you? 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's
Stephanie Miller.
I went from thinking you were slutty to knowing you were slutty.
Everybody knew that. When you're slutty, word tends to get around.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. We just played a clip from our good friend Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Why, what an idea. Sexy liberal in South Florida. Ken says, Steph, please bring the show to Fort Lauderdale. Do a show in Debbie Wasserman Schultz's neighborhood. What an interesting idea.
Do it in the dead of winter.
Irma Gerd.
Don't do it in August like you did that one time.
You never know what announcements might be forthcoming for Sexy Liberal. We have all sorts of exciting developments.
All right. Just hope the theater's not located over a sinkhole.
There you go.
Sinkholes are swallowing Florida.
Yeah.
By the way, you send me every day some weird story from Florida, don't you? Literally some weird story happens every day.
I can't help it. Because that's like...
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like a weird story generator down there.
Oh, here it is. This guy. Yeah, okay. Because I was just thinking, what was the weird... Because you don't even have to read.
No, you can tell.
You're like, oh, it's Florida, right?
Yeah.
I blame the Bermuda Triangle.
If it involves rednecks and nudity, you pretty much know it's Florida.
Right. Mm. This one, actually, Florida man arrested for impersonating a cop at Dunkin' Donuts. He was arrested last week for allegedly impersonating a cop in an attempt to get a discount on Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, God.
He entered the drive-thru lane at the Tampa area Dunkin' Donuts, requested a discount for his coffee by telling the cashier he was an air marshal and showing her a gold badge.
I work for the city.
After checking with her manager, she refused his request, at which point he held up a pistol and said, see, I'm a cop.
And I need donuts.
That did not end well. Apparently he tried that quite often. Yes. Oh, that's funny. Okay. Oh, Jim, hey, hit my conspiracy music. I thought of you the moment I saw this. Right-wing cyber attacks on healthcare.gov.
Yeah, interesting.
Someone said it. Not the greatest source, but I bet we'll hear more about this. With the amount they're spending on unusually literate-sounding trolls to call your shows, I'd be surprised if the coast...
We hadn't noticed.
And they're not hiring hackers to give it a go. Yesterday the House Homeland Security Committee published a video on their YouTube page highlighting a portion of the committee questioning... Roberta Stempley, acting assistant secretary of the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Cybersecurity and Communications, who confirmed at least 16 attacks on the Affordable Care Act's portal, healthcare.gov website in 2013. Roberta Stempley highlighted one successful attack that is designed to deny access to the website called a distributed denial of service attack. A DDoS attack is designed to make a network unavailable to intended users, generally through a concerted effort to disrupt service, such as repeatedly accessing the servers, saturating them with more traffic than the website is designed to handle. Right-wingers have been distributing the link to the necessary tools to perform the attacks on the healthcare.gov website through social networking, as pointed out by Information Week and other websites. The name of the attack tool called, subtly enough, Destroy Obamacare. They're so subtle with their...
Wow.
Use a code or something, you moron. Really?
Destroy de Ocaramabera A.
Yeah, but do use Pig Latin or something at least.
Put some effort into it.
Good God in heaven.
But that can't be true because that's a conspiracy theory.
I just thought, on the Kennedy anniversary, right?
When is the Kennedy anniversary?
Friday, November 22nd. It's on a Friday again.
Oh, all right.
There you go.
And they're putting out a cartoon now showing how the single bullet theory was really plausible.
Because the kids will love that.
For the kids. Okay. Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
I got to talk to Jim's wife, Janique, at Thanksgiving about what it's like when that stuff like that comes on the TV and Jim's at home.
No,
because I know he's thrown stuff at my television.
Yeah, I don't. I can't watch that stuff.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is just going to be like 6 days after the anniversary.
It's like, hello, they lied.
Oh, by the way, Patrick, this is, kids play the home games when listening to the Stephanie Miller Show.
Uh-huh.
Steph, it seems like you've had an uptick in trolls phoning in lately. Yeah, no kidding.
Uh-huh.
My partner and I have made a game of seeing how long a troll can go before you catch on and disconnect. It's sort of like watching people ride the mechanical bull at Gillies. Hey, Skeeter, watch this. And like riding the bull, they think they look great for that 6 seconds when, in fact, all you see is a whipped-up douchebag.
Ow! I should have worn a cup. Ow!
We're thinking about designing a point system for time and style. Patrick.
And if they're really drunk, they have sprays of vomit that go everywhere.
Yeah.
I rode the bull at Gillies.
Did you?
Yeah, when I was driving across the country to go to college.
They're all the bull at Gillies.
Oh, yeah. They're not the biggest feminists there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Pasadena, Texas? Who would have thought that?
Yeah. I remember the guy that put me on the bull.
Did he cop a feel?
A little bit, yeah, but he's like, hey, darling, why don't you just slide your little right on up there.
Yeah, slide there and take it.
To them, that's giving you a compliment.
Right. And then if you fall off, they get your panties and they tack them to the wall.
But you don't wear any, so...
Right? Ha ha! I fooled them.
Gotcha. Were you wearing panties back then?
I don't think so. Who can remember?
When was the last time you bought a pair of panties?
I don't know that I ever have. Hey! Speaking of trolls, hi, Billy in Texas!
Hi there.
How you doing?
I've been hearing y'all moan and whine.
Right.
This morning. I was just wondering what they're supposed to do when they are faced with the kind of malfeasance coming out of the White House from Obama and his cadre of Marxist fools.
Marxist.
Wow. Oh, Billy.
He's about as Marxist as Nelson Rockefeller.
We didn't have Billy's theme song ready.
It's a bit of a long theme song.
It helps me, though.
Okay.
And also I get to go...
With a phone call from the range. You know what I'm talking about. Just let him go. If you want to know how his talking points are strange. How does he come up with his stuff? How does he?
That's a nice girl down there. Okay, sorry. I get a little carried
it's
away.
It's their homage to God, rocking out.
Yeah, rocking out Mike. All right. Okay, let's, Corky in Rochester. Hi, Corky. Okay, you need to hang, we'll have to do another gym instructional on that one.
John Lee Hooker.
About turning your radio off. Turn your radio
deprivation.
Off.
John Lee Hooker. So homage to John Lee Hooker.
Oh.
That
oh,
song.
Thank
ZZ
you.
ZZ Top.
There you go. Sue in Chicago. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I gotta tell you, Tex needs to go get his head out of his armpit. I would like to have people stop on our side, stop talking about how this healthcare thing is an Obama mistake. And I would like us to turn back to the fact that the riding Republicans, Boehner and Mitch McConnell and all the rest of them, just cost our country $240 million, didn't they, or $24 billion?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why aren't we, that was a nice, this is a nice way for them to make people forget that they did that to us. We haven't, the president hasn't done anything to take $24 billion away from people.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely right. Yep. By the way, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand on Friday, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, pardon me.
Kirsten.
Right.
Or is it Gillibrand?
They can fix this. This is a fixable problem.
The she's speaking of the obviously.
The website.
Right.
And other things.
Right. Representative James Clyburn, Democrat, South Carolina.
About 30 of them, and I've talked to them.
Democrats.
Were insulating themselves against sound bites. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah, thank you. Once again, boo! You 39.
Queen of putrescence, boo!
It's just, you can't, whatever way the wind's blowing, and now when, everything gets fixed and everyone loves it, oh, I've always been right behind the president on Obamacare, absolutely. I was mentioning some of this on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
First Obamacare enrollment numbers, dismal, but no failure yet. And again, I think this is the important part of the story. Nearly half of all sign-ups were in California and New York. Not coincidentally, two of the states that have worked hardest to build exchanges and implement key parts of the law. 82% of all enrollees come from blue states. Hello. And again, as I was talking about, Rachel did this whole piece on Massachusetts, which had few enrollments at the beginning of its healthcare rollout in February 2007. By the end of the year, participation had spiked. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, of those, 20% purchase coverage in the last month before the penalty kicked in. If Americans follow the same pattern with Obamacare, we should see a massive enrollees near April when enrollment ends. Again, we'll see. It's all reminiscent of the moment after the election of Scott Brown in 2010. Congressional Democrats seem to be panicking with a handful willing to support legislation that could cripple the exchanges and guarantee failure down the road. This is from the Daily Beast, mm-hmm. Jamel Bowie, who's great.
Yes.
It's hard to overstate the political fallout of a Democratic retreat. If the ACA were to collapse, the result of an ill-considered fix that would gut the law, the health care market would plunge into chaos, ruin the party's political standing, and destroy Obama's legacy. No one would touch health care reform for another 20 20 years to the huge detriment of the country and millions of uninsured Americans. On the other hand, of course, the Affordable Care Act could still fail of its own accord. So the best choice is still a relentless effort from the administration to fix the website and the Democratic Party that's willing to stand with the president and give the law time to work. Waiting won't be easy, and supporters will pay a political price for Obamacare's problems. But the potential gains to millions of Americans, uninsured and otherwise, are too great and too important for Democrats to retreat. Thank you. Thank you. This was the on the Rachel's Thursday when I was out being a club kid.
Yes, you were.
Yes. Romney Care lesson, be patient with Obamacare. Somebody insists that we watch it. They said, take my word, as a key Obama and Obamacare defender, you will feel much better about what we're doing and our chances of success after you watch it. It is a fascinating look at the political history of the implementation of Romney Care in Massachusetts as compared to what's happening with the ACA. Amazing early enrollment fun fact, as a proportion of the population, Obamacare actually enrolled 5 times more people in its first month, even with all the website problems, constant GOP undercutting, and media naysaying adverse publicity. She then talked to MIT economist Jonathan Gruber, who was off-cited by the right-wing media as being unhappy with the way Obamacare has turned out. Like all of us, Gruber is thoroughly sick of the frustrations with the political situation, but as for a law, he thinks it will work like it did in Massachusetts. All that's required is patience and some tweaking along the way. Yes, the Republicans can cause more trouble, but we need to soldier on, he said. And then we were saying the 26 a-hole state AGs, remember, who sued the government to undo Obamacare rather than getting their state exchanges up and working?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to remember all the clubs they're using to try to kill the ACA like it was poor Piggy in Lord of the Flies. They'll never rest, but when it's over and working like in Massachusetts, they'll never live this down. Anyway, so Rachel finished her report that while in Massachusetts there was a tiny anti-abortion group that tried to petition to repeal Obamacare, or Romney Care, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But with the ACA, we have a national political party whose sole purpose for existence at this point is to the implementation of Obamacare. And that is that part of it is unprecedented, you know. But so that, you know, that's why, again, that's most, you know, people that I respect are saying, calm down, hang in there. This is a really big deal. It is, Joe Biden would say, a big
effing deal.
It really is. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Why do I not think she's talking about the form of public conveyance? I think might be a double entendre involved.
Ooh.
I suspect.
Oh, heavens, all right. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Valerie Jarrett tweeted, Obama, I am not going to walk away from 40 million people who have a chance to get health insurance for the first time. Hello. Thank you. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
No, I mean, really.
No,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. On behalf of, Billy from Texas, king of the trolls. Gosh, I've missed him since, I don't know when, yesterday. Hi, Billy in Texas.
Yeah, I don't know if you hate yourself or not. But
why am I hitting myself? Is that what you're saying?
You're a race traitor. White
traitor of Steffi Rants. Falls to vent and get his pants in a wadded up bunch thicket.
Yeah, I don't know who listens to you, Steffi.
He smokes funny cigarettes, but 2 hours he's been on hold because his right-wing rants are getting old. He's a man who means to troll me.
By the way, did you get your check for this phone call yet?
King of the trolls, traitor Steph.
T and then a key. All right, well, despite the trolls, House Democrats refuse to revolt over Obamacare is the headline on HuffPost. A Democratic revolt over Obamacare failed to materialize on Friday as the House of Representatives passed a measure to let insurance companies offer plans that don't meet the minimum requirements of the Affordable Care Act. The measure, called Keep Your Healthcare Act, passed with 39 Democrats, helpful helpers, helping McHelpersons, helping Republicans. That's only a handful more Democrats than defected on a number of votes during the recent government shutdown. It's the same douche weasels.
Douche weasels?
Right.
Weez doucheles.
Right. It's a new word. I decided to combine
two. Is that a weasel you use to douche?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz said most of the pundits were predicting we were going to lose a huge number of members, and we're
not.
Democrats believe we should move forward and fully implement the Affordable Care Act. She said that she expects Democrats to stay relatively united because they overwhelmingly support the larger goal. The party should be willing to take some bumps and bruises to get where they are going, she said. Thank you. She said, this is something Democrats believe in. We've been trying for 100 years to make sure we have a system that allows everyone to have access to quality, affordable health care. We're committed to it. Republicans are not. Thank you. Thank you, Deb. It ain't a man's
world. Or we could have done what the Germans did in the 1880s, go a single payer.
Right. We could have, done that, but we did not. Yeah. So, speaking of awesome things from Florida, Randy Rhoads, 54 after. I won't say anything. She has some very good news, and I'm very, very excited. We've been texting back and forth.
Apparently, it's out and about.
It is?
I've been getting a lot of congratulations.
Really?
Yes.
We've been texting back and forth all weekend. I wasn't sure. Really? Can we say? She said already Friday?
People have been telling me that they found out that what happened.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say it. She got uncanceled.
Yeah, she re-signed with her syndicator.
Yes, Randy Rhoads will be staying with us here on the airwaves. I was in a white-knuckle panic.
Many people were.
Yes, as you know, she is my my favorite thing in life,
yes,
essentially.
My friend Jefferson texted me.
We were panicked trying to figure out because we cannot lose. A voice as important as hers, and I love her dearly.
Yes.
And it kind of in a big gay way, even, you know.
Yeah. My friend Jefferson texted me and said, how can you let this happen?
I know. Like, I was getting a lot of it. It was my I'm like, I'm trying. What? Anyway, love her. Love you, Hawa. Les writes, a woman from Chicago called Blaine called Randy Rhoads and suggested the policies being canceled by the health insurance companies are not cancellations, they're recalls of a defective product. Those policies do not meet the safety standards, so they are being recalled. I think that's brilliant. Of course it is. It was on the Hawa's show. And she's brilliant. All right, Kala in Illinois, you are on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kala.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to ask you guys, do you know where things stand with the website of the Affordable Care, the ACA website? I understand that it's getting better every day, but do you know if it's improved to the point that people are now able to sign up?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, obviously people are signing up. I think it's just a percentage of, you know, that clearly it's not working 100%. But at any rate. I was trying to say anyway or at any rate. And you know what? This is what happens. This is what happens when you're spineless, Jim, and you don't make a solid choice. When you don't. I'm a Libra. That's my excuse.
I see.
But I'm not a spineless Democrat, and I did not know whether to say...
At any rate.
And see what happened?
At any rate.
You see what happened? Now, that was a debacle.
That was. I think we should cancel you.
That was a verbal debacle.
Just completely repeal you.
Can you repeal me?
Yes.
Repeal her.
Oh, by the way, my friend Howard said that Randy talked about it on Friday's show.
Oh, so, whew, thank God.
So
okay.
You did not give anything away.
I wasn't sure if she was going to make the announcement today, and then I was like, oh, God, then I'm going to get the
rubble. Okay, so.
I'm going to get the HOA text.
We're good.
Oh, yeah, I just texted her, thank God. Oh, HOA.
She announced it right after she played Bounce Your Boobies.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So everything's back to normal. Oh. God, really. Oh, speaking of people that frequently butcher the English language, like me and Sarah Palin, Keith from Milwaukee, we played a long soundbite Friday. Ugh. Again, we apologize. Sarah's word salad. Steph, after hearing that last Sarah Palin clip, I now realize why she had so many kids. She keeps missing her period.
Hey!
There's no...
Punctuation.
No punctuation, no menstruation.
How come all Republican women have irritating voices? Can someone answer that question?
Think of your life, peony.
Senator Kelly Ayotte yesterday.
Oh.
Let's not forget how this was passed, David. Mm-hmm. It was passed on purely partisan lines.
No input from Republicans. And so that's what you get when you try to push it through.
She has a little bit of a Susan Collins things going on there.
Yeah. Right? They all have bad voices.
And it was a Republican plan.
And they'll probably all get radio shows when they retire.
Probably. Well,
the president said that he fumbled the rollout. It's time for a timeout.
Timeout.
Welcome to the County Show.
If you don't take a timeout, you get a total transformation.
We're going to be talking about
Sun.
Sun.
No, we love our sponsors.
Love you. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Monday, everybody. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Did I just say everybody?
Everybody.
Back in my early radio days.
Good buddy, everybody.
Okay. why? Because I got a love letter at StephanieMiller.com where you can write to all of us, executive producer Crystal Boy, voice daddy Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. Thank you. Olo.
Huh?
I don't know. It's a lovely story about how sexy liberal dreams can come true. Kim had written me, I guess 2 weeks ago, and said, please come to New Mexico. I'm on disability and don't drive, so my living room would be perfect. If that doesn't work for you, though, please, anywhere in the state, I'll find a way to get to you.
Hmm.
No matter what occurs, she will find
you. I will find you!
And then what happened, Chris? What happened?
We announced
sexy liberal Albuquerque. Woot. Steph, you found a way. Even though I have no idea how I'm going to get there or who's going with me, I just got 2 tickets to the show in Albuquerque. Best part, they're meet and greet tickets. I am front row, baby. OMG. First show dream come true. I love you. See you May 10th. I will see you, Kim. And post up on Sexy Liberal Facebook, and I sent this to Roland so somebody can get a ride, because sexy liberals help each other. Somebody give Kim a ride in Albuquerque to the Albuquerque Sexy Liberal. Do it. Do it. Raise your glass. Time to celebrate. Here we go.
Seattle.
No. Raise your glass. The sexy liberal that Audra in Minneapolis sent.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
All
okay.
Right.
Here we go.
Don't get fancy. Just get dancy. It's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour.
Yeah.
What?
Ride, turn up the night. We're going to party Saturday night.
Sexy liberals.
That's the way we roll.
Ow.
She will be at the Madison Sexy Liberal. That is March 29th, almost sold out. Rocky Mountain Mike and Company will be up in Seattle December 14th for the final 2013 Sexy Liberal.
Seattle, want to end 2013 on a high note? Then get your tickets now for Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, coming to the Paramount Theater December 14th, 2013.
Oh, babies, who's ready to get their sexy on with mama?
Go to sexyliberal.com for ticket information and all things sexy liberal. Once again, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to the Paramount Theater on December 14th, 2013. Be there and brace yourselves for some sexy liberal action.
Yahoo! I was hanging out in New York City with Sexy Liberal John Fugel saying, we are so excited. We have some really exciting announcements for 2014, Sexy Liberal-wise. Oh, don't forget February 15th in Phoenix as well, also going like crazy. Very, very, very exciting. All right. Wowee! It's the, I don't know what this is. Crimes of Passion stack? Let's just call
it
that. I just like stories about people with more disastrous love lives than mine. Boyfriend catches guy in bed with girlfriend, sets his balls on fire.
What?
Oh. Goodness gracious. Great balls of fire.
How did the other guy sit still long enough for...
Oh, well, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because he knocked him out first.
Oh, well, that'll do it.
Yeah. Or maybe, alternatively, Jim, he got hit with a bag of Vipers because it was in Chicago.
That's a possibility.
Or a bag of glass.
A bunch of flaming Vipers.
Or maybe a bag of glass. Police in Chicago say a man who caught another man in bed with his girlfriend decided to teach him a lesson by setting his balls on fire. The attacker knocked his rival unconscious, pulled out a Bic lighter, which police say was set on high. Oh, dear. He turned it up to 11. This will be a lesson to you. I lit your balls on fire, the suspected reportedly told the still unconscious victim. Mm. So he didn't really hear that threat.
No, so why did he even make that threat?
Officers were called to a nearby laundromat where they found the victim rubbing Vaseline on his burns.
Which is not supposed to do.
There's a little chat in the laundromat. What are you doing over there?
But,
I'm rubbing Vaseline. Guy set my balls on fire because I his wife. I'm just rubbing a little Vaseline on my balls. Sorry.
But he didn't do anything.
Go ahead with the spin cycle.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
He didn't set her balls on fire. No.
I don't want to set your balls on fire.
It's romantic. How about this one? Rich man buys house next to ex-wife, erects giant middle finger outside. See, the rich, they have...
way too much time in their hands.
Right, they have ways to get better revenge. A Michigan man has reportedly gone to internet-ready lengths in order to troll his ex-wife with a daily reminder of his feelings toward her.
Mm-hmm.
Man identifies as Allen purchased the house next to his ex, proceeded to move in with his daughter, Tiffany. He went a step further, purchased an expensive bronze statue of middle finger, which he placed on the back porch and aimed at his ex-wife's house.
Wow.
That is big.
And at night?
Right. If that wasn't passive enough, he ensured the statue was visible 24/7 by shining a spotlight on it after dark.
Yes. Could even say it glows.
The update is his name is Alan Markovitz, a local legend who owns three Detroit strip clubs.
Detroit strip clubs, and authored a book entitled
Topless Prophet, The True Story of America's Most Successful Gentleman's Club Entrepreneur.
Wow.
Okay.
Is it called The Itchy Kitty?
He thinks quite highly of himself. And who could have seen that he would have a lack of respect for women in any way? Huh.
Hmm.
Oh, although he said his wife was cheating on him with someone he knew, she moved in with the guy 2 days after moving out of the house.
Mm-hmm. So he set his balls on fire.
No,
he's the giant bronze middle finger.
Right.
Guy.
Different story altogether.
How much does a Bic lighter cost? You know what I'm saying? The top 1% can afford better revenge.
You can get one for a dollar at the gas station.
I heard somebody told me online you can now order a real poop to be sent to someone.
Oh.
Any kind that you like.
Really?
Elephant, gorilla. And there are different sizes of packages that you can send.
You would think that would be illegal to send through the mail.
Yeah.
There's different animals, beard, different sizes of stuff.
Would that be a bodily fluid?
I don't know if it's just the internet or can you make a phone order? Hello, I would like to send 800 pounds of gorilla to the following address.
Nobody orders things over the phone anymore.
I do.
That's because you're.
Oh my God! That's because you're
50.
And I can kick. I know, exactly. I stayed with sexy liberal children director and testicular exhibitionist Roland Scahill.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In New York.
Right.
And he, like the kids do today, he does everything on the internet. He orders food.
Surprised he had a phone.
Made a reservation at a hotel there for me when he got sick of me, you know. And I was like, see, I would have just said, hello, might I have a room at your establishment for the evening? I would have called somebody on my 1940s telephone. But he does everything. He's always attached to some sort. I haven't made eye contact with him in like 4 years.
Well.
He's always attached to some sort of Apple device.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn kids.
Nobody calls anybody anymore.
I do.
I know you do.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, God. I have to stop what I'm doing and answer her call.
Jangly, jangly, jangly. Hello. David in Miami. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hello, Moose. Anyway, when is the next time you're going to be coming full loaded on Miami?
Well, you know what? You just be patient. One might never know.
Well, come on, I'm dying over here because it took you off the radio over here.
I know. I feel you, dog.
Anyway, we retract. If you go back to the voices of some of the candidates you're talking, or politicians, how shaky their voices, you know, we're talking Sarah Palin or Michelle Bachman, they're not convinced by their own lies, so they're ready to maybe throw up in their own mouth a little bit.
Oh, that's true. Don't they say that your voice goes up when you're lying?
Yes. I don't think that's true at all. Where would you get such an idea?
Well,
that's crazy.
Sarah Palin, you know, garage doors fly open.
Sure.
Yeah. And we had the one guy that called, and he said to that last Sarah Palin soundbite that my balls just hit the back of my throat. Because
it happens.
Well, it's that timbre that you think only dogs could probably hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Guys and gals.
Guys and gals.
Ah! Okay, sorry. Julie in Vegas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Steffi.
Hi.
I have some good news about the ACA law.
What's that?
I went through the whole thing, and I filled out all my information, and it wouldn't go through. So I went to healthcare.gov, and there's a way that you can have someone help you and sit and type every bit of your information in for you and do all the hard work for you.
Thank you. You mean you might call someone on the telephone or actually walk in and talk to a person and also publish this?
Yes, well, and I'm getting it done Tuesday at 2 o'clock.
Oh, well, good for you. You rock on, sister.
She must be your age or more, or higher.
Richmond 9427.
Lily Tomlin puts all my calls through.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania 65000.
Okay. All right. I was saying last week... I think this was a brilliant move on the president's part, what he did with this. And this tells me that I'm right. The New York Times headline,
mm-hmm.
Obama proposal worries insurers and regulators.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. He threw it right back
that's
in
the
their
point.
Court. Exactly. After the president announced the proposed changes, insurance regulators participated in a heated conference call, according to one regulator, where many expressed deep unhappiness about the proposal. Trust me, anything the insurance companies don't like, it's good. Pardon me. Was I getting shrill and strident, almost like a Republican woman?
My balls just hit the back of my throat.
No, you don't have yours anymore. I took them years ago.
Oh,
they're
that's
in my
right.
drawer.
They're in your purse.
Yours and my dog.
Just call him Benoit.
Some on the call felt the president kind of threw us under the bus today. Oh, no. After how good we've always been to Mabel.
God.
blah, blah, blah. In Washington State, the regulator said, I do not believe this proposal is a good deal for the state of Washington. In the interest of keeping the consumer protections we have enacted and ensuring that we keep health insurance costs down for all consumers, we are staying the course. Oh, really? Oh, well, what a good idea. So you mean what you're saying is letting people help keep their plans really not the best idea? Ha! Huh. Oh, thanks. President Snickers in his Neo mm-hmm. office. All right, more on all of this 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Yeah, this is a story.
Stephanie Miller.
Last it all.
I'm hyperventilating just listening to that.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Mike in Minnesota. Hi, Mike.
Well, hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I am Mike White, the official milkman of the Stephanie Miller Show.
What?
And, yes, I called before. I'm actually a functional milkman, not one that used to do it. I'm on the route right now. I had to shut my truck off
wow.
so they could hear me better.
That is so awesome.
There were still milkmen.
I'm making deliveries.
You know, that warms wow. the cockles of my old-fashioned persnickety heart.
And can I get a pint of half and half, please?
Sure. No problem. I'll get that right to you.
Go ahead.
So anyway, my wife and I, I've been in business for 36 years, and our insurance in 98 was $525 for a month. Or no, that was for 3 months, $525 for 3 months, and it went up, Blue Cross Blue Shield, it's supposed to be going up to us, and I'm a self-employed businessman, and I have no other way to get around it, and it's going up to $1,795 a month.
Wow.
And we can't afford that. So we were going to lose our health care. And I'm a hard-working guy. I've been working hard, running my own business for 36 years. And my wife and I need the insurance. And, you know, we're 60 and 61, and we're kind of in a rough boat. We want to have Cheryl from Array help us. She's an insurance person that actually advertises on AM 950.
Yeah.
And we went there, and it took her about an hour, and she got us through the Minsure website, and we're going to save $1,150 a month, and that's a big deal to me. A very big deal.
Another Obamacare success story. Thank you, Mike White.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
By the way, is your company named Mike White Milk?
Yeah, well, actually, it's Mike White Dairy Distribution, known as White Dairy Delivery.
Oh, because I'm going to say otherwise you'd be accused of being racist. You do have chocolate milk, right?
My name is Mike White, and I'm a Caucasian. I can't help it. But my grandpa and my dad were also whites, and they were also milkmen. I'm a third generation.
Wow. That is so cool that you're keeping the tradition alive.
Thank you, Mike. I think it's best you went with dairy and not white milk. Just saying. You know, people are so tetchy these days, so politically correct. Okay. Where was I? Rocky Mountain Mike, by the way, said, I was told if I liked my Randy Rhoads, I could keep her. And you were right. You were right.
I was told I could keep my stapler.
Right. All right. So we were just talking about how, the insurance company, they're disappointed. Disappointed in this fish.
Disappointed!
Julie in Seattle writes, Steph, what people won't get to later about what the president proposed, Obama hit the ball back to the insurance companies. That's what I was just saying, who pulled this mass cancel stunt. He said they can offer the old plans, and people who want to do them can keep them for a year, wink. But they have to inform them what they don't cover, LOL, in other words, the bad stuff, exclusions, caps, etc., in plain English and in legible font. They're going to love that. They'll be required to disclose and inform that there may be better alternatives available elsewhere. So now people, again, see it's up to the insurance companies. It's always been under the free market approach most of their elected representatives insisted on. I swear to God, all of this, I've never seen right-wingers make a better case for single payer.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, the president was completely honest that the point of the law is to get people into better insurance. He went on at length about the broken status quo before the ACA, listing all the notorious insurance dirty tricks that they did to people. Then basically he said, but I can see why someone, because of their circumstances, might want to stay with the crappy policy until they can do better. You relied on what I said. It's okay. So we'll do all, you know, we can, so you have that option. And then a lot of people watched that press conference. And somebody tweeted, mentally trying to remember Major Garrett and the rest asking such exacting and accusatory questions at even one Bush-Iraq war press conference. And I agree. Remember, the media was so scared back then.
Mm-hmm.
So cowed into, you know.
I just love the way you said plain English.
Stop being accusatory.
Aww.
Kamala Harris out here in California.
She is awesome.
The Foxy. She has shut down fraudulent health insurance sites. I know it is cool. Shocking to many of you. Shocking that anybody would try to benefit off people's suffering. She announced the removal of 10 private health insurance websites that misled Californians by imitating Covered California, the state's official insurance marketplace for the ACA. She also released tips to help consumers avoid insurance scams. These websites fraudulently imitated Covered California in order to lure consumers away from plans that provide the benefits of the ACA. She said, my office will continue to investigate and shut down these kinds of sites. I urge Californians to avoid healthcare scams by visiting Covered California.com, CoveredCA.com, by the way, if you are out here in California. All right. Oh, looky here is a lesson to spineless Democrats. Louisiana Republican supports Obamacare Medicaid expansion, wins House seat carried by Romney. Businessman Vance McAllister has won the special runoff election for a vacant Northeast Louisiana congressional seat, notching an upset win over a fellow Republican there. While he supported Obamacare repeal, he also said as long as Obamacare was going to be law, Louisiana should participate in its Medicaid expansion because it would deliver health insurance to tens of thousands of poor Louisianans. He gambled bid by tacking to the left and expressing support for certain planks of Obamacare, a move designed to win over low-income voters and Democrats who were allowed to vote in the primary runoff. In the conservative district where Mitt Romney won more than 60% of the vote, his soft line on Obamacare was a risky one. His opponent clobbered him on the issue, blah, 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 saying it was evidence he was insufficiently conservative. as a chairman down there, said Obamacare is a political hurricane and will dominate the 2014 elections. The GOP's problem is it doesn't know which way the wind is blowing.
Hmm.
And it may just blow it up in their faces.
Yeah.
Get it.
Get it.
Blow it up real good.
Oh, I just hope this turns around in record time so we can watch that hole. Oh, we have always said
we have wall with these days.
Right,
yeah.
And that we loved Obamacare.
Always. With these days, yeah.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I opened my best bottle of wine for you last night, and you left a sip.
I would never.
This is your lipstick.
Wine or fight.
Again, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Buddy in Columbus.
Hey, Mama, you guys have touched on it this morning, but there's a new meme going around in the right wing that Obama's just an incredible screw-up.
Right.
He's a failure. Because, you know, you thought that after the Supreme Court upheld the Affordable Care Act, they lose an election, they get their butts kicked on this shutting down the government, they'd have enough and they'd let it go. No.
No.
The new meme now is, you know, the Obama's incompetent, and Kathleen Sebelius is incompetent. They can't get it going. And I've got right-wing friends, and they're sending a memo around now saying, it's from Fox, that the United States was able to beat Germany in 3.5 years and fight Japan, but Obama can't get a website going.
Wow. That's not remotely a fair comparison.
Oh, my God.
Right. Much fairer comparison to say it's his Katrina. Or Iraq War, or
whatever.
Right. Okay. By the way, Dana Milbank, our good friend from the Washington Post, great piece on Daryl Issa's Obamacare Kangaroo Court.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The America. He is such a jackass. Seriously. Representative Jim Cooper, Tennessee Democrat, said the American people do not want to see a kangaroo court here. He said that midway through the four-hour prosecution of the Obama administration technology experts.
Mm-hmm.
If this was at all designed to help, of course it's not. He does the same play every time. Chairman Daryl Issa hopped to attention. Kangaroo court is quite an accusation, he said.
It's more like a koala court.
He said, I hope the gentleman from Tennessee, when he uses the term kangaroo court in the future, will think better of making an accusation. Oh, maybe think through something before you make an accusation you meet with no facts that later blow up in your face and prove to me about, you know, Benghazi or IRS or Fast and Furious, whatever, who can even remember?
Yeah, Fast and Furious really blew up in Daryl Issa's face, didn't it?
Dana Milbank said, sorry, Mr. Chairman, but if the pouch fits, it was indeed a kangaroo court, and Issa was the main marsupial. On Wednesday, the topic was Obamacare, but the California Republican followed the script he used when investigating Fast and Furious, Benghazi, IRS, making inflammatory accusations of high-level skullduggery, released selective information that appears to support the case while withholding exculpatory details, then used his chairman's privilege to turn the hearings into an episode of the Daryl Issa Show. And as usual, Issa's determination to be judge, jury, and prosecutor and witness was counterproductive. To say the least. Dana Milbank.
Yeah.
It's different. He is ridiculous. Oh, did you see this? John Boehner, highly skeptical of Obamacare fix for canceled plans. Oh. I had assumed he would be so helpful and hopeful.
I'm highly skeptical. Because the black guys are doing it.
He said, I'm highly skeptical that they did this administratively. I just don't see within the law their ability to do it. Boehner said he believed the solution was to scrap this law once and for all. Well, of course it is. I don't know. You know what? I had to read the whole story to know that would be his conclusion, because I could not have seen that coming. Okay. Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi scolded John Boehner and said he does less work than a family of retirees.
Ah!
Snap. Snap, Grandma.
That's kind of funny.
Following reports that John Boehner was not even going to try to pass an immigration bill, Nancy Pelosi scolded him Thursday for doing less work than a family of retirees, calling the decision outrageous. She argued not only could the House pass the immigration bill if Boehner would try, but it could pass a bill to improve background checks for gun purchases and the ENDA to end discrimination against gay people. ENDA, background checks, comprehensive immigration reform, it's right there. It's right there, Pelosi said. It requires it to be bipartisan because we don't have the majority, but we say to the Speaker, bring up immigration any way you want, singly, jointly, severally, anything. Just bring it up so we can take some votes on it. She said, I don't know that they ever intend to do anything again. I mean, doesn't that seem like it?
Yep.
Here is some good news. There's turtle trouble, Jim, in Kentucky.
Turtle trouble.
Allison Lundgren Grimes is tied with Mitch McConnell in the U.S. Senate race. The Democrat is... They're running neck and neck. Or whatever you do.
They have necks.
In a turtle race. Is it?
They have necks.
Well, unless he pulls his back in.
Well, he's... Yeah.
I'm not sticking my neck out.
How can you... Right. How can you tell if it's neck and neck? If he's back in his shell.
Neck and shell.
Turtle tunnel.
Right. I really can't believe you
I
said that.
I live in turtle tunnel.
Turtle right. tunnel.
boy. Okay, here's their newest plan to try to revive their electoral chances. The GOP's primary shakeup plot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cue my Deliverance soundbite. Fearing a Hillary Clinton glides the nomination in 2016. To the nomination in 2016, while unpopular GOP contenders battle it out, Republicans are plotting a Midwestern Super Tuesday.
Ooh.
Oh, they're feeling super about a Midwestern
Super. Thanks for asking.
Oh, heavens. The move toward a Midwestern Super Tuesday.
Super.
After the early primary states of Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Florida appears aimed in part at wresting control of the nominating process from social conservatives in the South in an effort to produce a nominee more likely to carry the election in November. The plan, however, not likely to sit well with state chairs and committee members from the southern states, who would be pressured to keep out of the Midwestern primary. I don't know that there's much appetite for it, said the RNC chair in Georgia. We would not be in favor of having Georgia cut out. You do not want to make Georgia squeal like a pig.
We got a deal for the mail thing.
That's the truth.
I just
feel
like
pigs. We're
allowed. That's the RNC chairs in Georgia.
Yeah, just like Ned Beatty.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly my point. Okay. Hey, speaking of I feel super and don't I look cute in this hat, did you see this in the New York Times yesterday? Guess where is the gayest place in America?
Washington, D.C.
You were supposed to make a Marcus Bachman joke there, but no. Okay, yes, Washington, D.C.
The Bachman household.
A decade ago, Washington was an often intolerant and closeted city for gay men and lesbians, but that was then.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting polling. Don't take my word for it. Consider the surveys by Gallup and the Census Bureau have found the gay population with the D.C. is compared with 50 states. It has the highest percentage of adults who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, according to Gallup. At 10%, that's a lot of homos.
That is a lot of homos. That's a lot of mowing going
right?
on.
Right? If you laid them all, you know, back to back, now that'd be a party. I don't know what I meant by that. I don't know. I was trying to...
Back to back?
What's the Dorothy Parker joke if you laid...
If you laid every Radcliffe girl end to end, I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Right! See, I was rattling around up there.
You're still drunk.
Yes, indeed. Okay, at 10%, that's double the percentage in the state that ranks number 2, Hawaii, and nearly triple the overall national average of 3.5%. The Census Bureau looked at where the highest percentage of same-sex couple households were, found that the District of Columbia ranked far higher than the 50 states with 4%, national average just under 1%.
Hmm.
Congratulations, big, gay Washington. Hilarious, where Republicans still won't vote to not fire people for being gay, which would include... Apparently most of their staff, according to Gallup and the Census, but okay, whatever.
Whatever.
Oh, my gosh, Joan Walsh in Salon, our buddy, our pal, Dick Cheney, an even bigger monster than you thought.
Yeah.
Wow, that's hard to imagine.
Yeah, well, we'll see how Thanksgiving pans out, what with the Cheney sister cat fight and all.
I think it's going to be fine, because I think it's fake.
Pass the strychnine.
Yeah, I had not heard this.
All you need to do is move Dick Cheney close to the microwave and...
Stop it!
What? What?
What's going on with our yams? Uh-oh, oh, Dad!
Boom, 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 boom. The Stephanie Miller Show would...
would like to apologize for any implication that we wish any fictional cartoon harm on Dick Cheney by from getting to us. Or to the refrigerator, since he would act like a refrigerator magnet.
Chunk, chunk.
Somebody pull Dad off the refrigerator. It's time to eat. Picking little bananas out of his hair. Banana magnets.
Pass the defibrillator.
Okay. Yeah, it is hard to think that he's a bigger, but I had not heard this, but Joan Rice, you probably heard that Dick Cheney agrees with Bill Clinton about letting people who are losing private insurance keep their old plans, as Obama repeatedly seemed to promise they could. That's not surprising. Cheney is a troll who maligns the president whenever he can, and piling on with Clinton is a special kind of fun. Yes, it's outrageous that a man who has enjoyed many millions of dollars of taxpayer-funded medical care doesn't give a damn about the uninsured in our society, but that's Dick Cheney. Still, I was a little startled to hear the former vice president express total indifference to questions about his heart donor in a revealing interview with Larry King. It's a window into his utter entitlement and self-absorption, and he comes off as an even bigger monster than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of goes to their whole, you know, feeling about healthcare, and it is really ironic. Here he is with healthcare that no normal American, extraordinary care, would ever be able to get, that, you know, and could give a crap about anybody else. When King asks...
Sucks to be you, everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. When King asks if he knows the identity of the person whose heart keeps him alive, Cheney, who's promoting a book about his transplant experience, says no, and adds, it hadn't been a priority for me. You know, like military service during Vietnam and stuff like that. He said, the way I think of it, from a psychological standpoint, is it's my new heart, not someone else's old heart.
Wow.
Screw it, I take a joke.
He's a D-I...
Right?
His first name.
That boy is a P-I-G pig.
I wonder if he even waited till the other person was gone. The Stephanie Miller Show is not implying that Dick Cheney ripped the heart out of a living person.
Wait, I'm not a heart donor. It's not even
I'm not even. I just had a cough. Ah!
I just had a sniffles.
It's mine now.
Wow.
Finders keepers.
And I always thank donors for the gift that I've been given, but I don't spend time wondering who had it, what they'd done, what kind of person.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's icky.
Joan writes, consider the complete self-centeredness of that statement and the utter lack of empathy. I shouldn't be surprised at that. War criminals and torture promoters aren't known for their empathy, but I was surprised. I have to say, that's a new level of...
That's gross.
Screw me, I can't take a joke.
Wow. Once again, Newsbusters, the Stephanie Miller Show. I'd like to say that we have no direct evidence that Dick Cheney pulled a heart out of a living human being. Because in that case, he would technically know the identity, probably, of the person.
So I think we could probably draw that conclusion.
Okay.
I don't care.
The Stephanie Miller Show did not mean to imply that Dick Cheney once shot a man with birdshot in the face in Reno watch him die and then grab his heart. While drunk. We're not saying, we're just saying. Okay, I hope that apology is
sufficient. Shot a man in Reno because I wanted his internal organs.
Okay, 46 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Nori! Enough Phoenix got her sexy liberal tickets. Hey, gang, my brother and I will be at the Orphan Theater again this year. He's the only person in my family or friends who loves the show as much as I do, and my baby zebra Finch. Oh, she sent us a picture of she and the baby zebra Finch.
Oh, okay.
Watching the show.
Ah.
We will also have a television announcement on the new televised version of the radio show shortly.
When?
There's been a lot of moving parts. partially why Mama was in New York. A lot of stuff going on. Okay.
Really?
Chris, my brother graduated from ASU in 1980. Yay, ASU.
Yay, ASU.
Chris,
go Devils.
Chris will be at that show, yeah.
Stephanie Miller is an American political commentator, comedian, and host of The Stephanie Miller Show.
Haven't I read that somewhere before?
May I continue? Miller's sexy liberal comedy tour brings together three liberal comedians for an evening of liberal humor and comment.
That's it. You're lifting the script straight from Wikipedia. Here, let me do this. On Saturday, February 15th, the original Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Phoenix, Arizona, and will perform live at the Orpheum Theater.
The Orpheum Theater is a 1,364-seat theater.
Seriously, knock it off. Tickets are available by going to Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss your chance to see the authentic, one-of-a-kind, never-copied Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. February 15th, live at the Orpheum Theater. Get your tickets now. Go to Ticketmaster.com.
Yeah, do it. Get it. Okay, I was hanging in New York with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang. Lots of exciting announcements for Sexy Liberal 2014. Oh, I'm so teasy this morning about things. And there'll be another big city announced this week, so we're very excited. Speaking of sexy liberals, Alec Baldwin, who sadly stiffed me twice, that's my celebrity
But he sent
panelist.
A gigantic flower arrangement.
And a flower arrangement larger than I.
Yes.
To which I say, thank you, Alec.
It was Adrian Maloof sized.
Yes. I still love him. He was sick in New York, and then it was the inauguration for the D.C. Sexy Liberal, and he was not able to make it. However, I don't know what's happening. He's threatening to quit show business. It was a big piece on the HuffPost. Mm-hmm. I hope he doesn't. I love him as an actor. I think he's incredibly talented. He defended himself vigorously, denying he ever used homophobic slurs and calls himself someone who has fought for marriage equality and been a longtime supporter of gay rights. So he acknowledged his tenure at MSNBC might come to an end soon. They've suspended him.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah. Because it was a paparazzi that he reportedly called a homophobic slur.
Yes.
Right. I don't know. He denies it. I don't know what to say.
The gay community is, like, a lot of gay blogs, or important gay blogs, are starting to pay attention to him.
Yeah. Wasn't there a horse guy in New York many years ago that was also an that he called a homophobe? Yeah, I think he admitted that
one. This is
not
the first time
he's
done this.
All right, just stop with the homophobic slurs. All right, Mommy, everybody, don't fight! I was in New York for the Out 100. By the way, thank you, everybody, that clicked on the picture, because I've got the editor of Out Magazine was on with us last week, and he said of the Out 100, I'm in the top 5 most clicked on pictures for Out 100.
Well, it's kind of a hot picture.
Thank you. It's me and Max and Fred, who are so handsome.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, and then I think we have my red carpet picture up, which, whatever.
What? You look good. Yeah. You look fine.
Fine.
In it.
Well, thanks for that ringing endorsement.
Hey, you know.
Oh, and then also on the Facebook page, backstage with Dulé Hill and hanging with most of the cast of West Wing, Dulé Hill After Midnight, amazing Broadway show I got to see, hanging backstage.
Sweet.
Right. Guess what I missed?
What?
Mariah Carey came to the Out 100
right
after I left. That's probably, she was like, is Stephanie Miller gone? Yeah, you can go. Yeah. So then she was like, okay, I'm coming.
Something tells me that you and Mariah Carey have exact opposite sleeping schedules.
You think so?
Exact opposite.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. She says she hated American Idol, by the way, and seemingly compares Nicki Minaj to Satan.
They didn't get along.
She said, honestly, I hated it, meaning American Idol. I thought it was going to be a 3-person panel. They gave me a nice dangling monetary moment, and I was just like, okay, Randy Jackson will be there. I've known him forever. He used to play bass for me. Like, this isn't a big deal. This will be nothing. But it wasn't that. It was like going to work every day in hell with Satan. You probably said that about me, though, too. I'm just guessing.
Well, I just put up with you.
I'm just guessing that phrase has been uttered. I can't. I have to go to work with Satan.
With Satan.
Okay. By the by, did you see in the New York Times yesterday, I thought this was really interesting. We talk a lot about climate change and this extreme weather events.
Uh-huh.
And this is why this is going to be a huge issue. Growing clamor about inequities of climate crisis Following a devastating typhoon that killed thousands in the Philippines, a routine international climate change conference in Warsaw that they just happened last week turned into an emotional forum with developing countries demanding compensation from the worst polluting countries for damage they say they are already suffering. Calling the climate crisis madness, the Philippines representative vowed to fast for the duration of the talks. They're going to be mocked, of course, all over the place, right, in right-wing world today for restitution. I got your restitution right here. But this is absolutely true, and it's been New York Times saying, from the time a scientific consensus emerged that human activity was changing the climate, it has been understood that the nations that contributed least to the problem would be hurt the most. Mm-hmm. Now, even as the possible consequences of climate change have surged, from the typhoons that have raked the Philippines and India this year, to the droughts in Africa, to rising sea levels that threatens to submerge entire island nations, no consensus has emerged over how to rectify what many call climate injustice. Growing demands to address the issue have become an emotionally charged flashpoint at the negotiations here at the 19th conference of the UN, for climate change, which continues this week. And so I think that's, you know, that's absolutely right. You cannot look at all this stuff around the world and say this is just a coincidence.
Yeah.
We are having more and more events of just extreme weather that is causing just untold suffering. And the other thing is, even if you have to appeal to right-wingers just on money, on what this is going to cost all of us in the world,
sure,
to try to help these countries, because we're not doing anything about climate change.
Some Pacific Island nations are only 10 feet above sea level.
Right. Right.
So they're going to be wiped out.
Yeah. So some of them are arguing we may not be here anymore.
Right.
If we keep, you know, having this conversation. All right. A lot in my craw today. That's it for us today. We will see you tomorrow.
Are you craw free now?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. More room for wine.